Does that work?
Good.
Oh, that's your script from last time.
Is that yours?
That's yours.
No, it's not mine. I'll pass it.
It's mine. It's
red.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I thought that was the name of your sermon last time.
I thought it was yours, but I didn't.
No, this one's mine. I have to use big text so I don't lose my spot so easily. Good morning. Sunday morning for any Tyler Zed fans. My kids are always saying that, so it's always in my head. Once again, it's good to see everybody here. 2 weeks ago, what do you call me, brother, son? He's Dan, Dad, so I'll combine it to Dad Dan or something, the Dan. He had a message titled, Are We Thankful? I thought that's what it said on there. That's why I thought it was yours. And in the message, he covered 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. And it was about at the 22 minutes and 31 second mark. But I want to look at verse 18, which reads, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And look, if we look at the second half of this verse, giving thanks or being thankful to God is, being thankful is God's will for us. And Jesus said in his prayer in Gethsemane in Luke 22, yet not my will, but yours be done, or your will be done. And then also in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So I kind of see following God's will as more of a commandment than a suggestion. So following his will, like we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, being thankful was God's will for us. So I kind of see that as a command. We're commanded to be thankful. And in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, likely Solomon wrote, now all has been heard. The crackling is kind of throwing me off. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. It is our duty to follow his commands. I remember a while back, let me move this down a little bit. Does that help? Okay. Sorry for anybody online if it's super crackly. Anyway, I remember several years ago while I was listening to an interview. I don't know what sort of thing it was. It must have been on the radio because it's been several years. I didn't have Spotify back then. I don't remember who it was, but their thought was basically that all of God's commandments are for the benefit of mankind. It's not merely just the force for the sake of obedience, I should say. And an example of this would be maybe the Sabbath rest. And the idea would be that the rest promotes both a weekly time to recover your physical health, reducing stress, which would also affect your mental health. And we can even read in Mark 2:27, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And another example might be fasting. It's said to improve mental clarity, relieve stress, improve metabolic health, promote healing and detoxification, improve heart health. And if you look it up, there's a huge list of benefits that people claim there are from fasting. Is it true? I don't know. But that's what they say, at least. And another example of God's law being beneficial to us would be like the dietary laws from the Mosaic laws. With the food preservations that they had during the time, some of the unclean animals would have been more likely to promote the spread of foodborne illnesses. And that's their theory. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But we can see the same kind of thing if we were to look at gratitude. And by the way, since I did use the word gratitude, there's an article it's called Gratitude versus Thankfulness, and it was on, Gratitude versus Thankfulness, The Big Difference. It was published on guidepost.org website, and the author writes, gratitude is a general appreciation of life, while thankfulness is a response to a particular event or experience. For example, you can be grateful for your family, but thankful that your cousin showed up early to help you set the holiday table. You can be grateful for the community where you live, but you are thankful that your neighbor brought your garbage cans up from the curb on a rainy day. And although she does put a differentiation between the two words, I see them as very closely related. Maybe a person who has gratitude is more often to express their thankfulness or to even verbalize it. But I may use them interchangeably today. Anyway, the benefits of gratitude. Once again, I went to AI and asked, what are some scientific studies on gratitude and the results? And it gave me the following results. And just to remind you, AI has lied to me before. And I didn't double check these, so we're going to be living on the wild side today. The first thing, the first study that it listed was a study by Emmons and McCullough in 2003, where participants were divided into three groups. One kept a gratitude journal, another recorded hassles, and a third wrote about neutral events. And the result was that those in the gratitude journal group reported higher levels of well-being, greater optimism about their lives, reduced symptoms of depression, and then I'm assuming the AI concludes that regularly reflecting on things to be grateful for can enhance overall happiness and reduce negative emotions. The next study it references is from 2015, where patients with heart failure were asked to write about things they were grateful for daily. And it resulted in gratitude practice was linked to improved heart health indicators such as reduced inflammation, better sleep quality, and increased energy levels. So gratitude has tangible physical health benefits, especially for those with chronic health conditions. The third one, from 2008, researchers examined how expressing gratitude influenced romantic relationships. And reading through it, kind of seems like you could apply it to any relationship. Doesn't have to be romantic necessarily. And it resulted in strengthening the bond between partners, increased relationship satisfaction, and encouraged mutual positive behaviors. In the conclusion, gratitude fosters deeper connections and mutual appreciation in relationships. The fourth one, which there are seven of them, just to warn you. The fourth one, from 2007, participants with high levels of gratitude, which I don't know how you measure that, but they were assessed for stress and coping mechanisms, and those with higher gratitude reported lower levels of perceived stress, demonstrated better resilience and coping strategies in challenging situations, concluding that gratitude helps individuals manage stress and bounce back from adversity. The fifth one, from 2016, participants engaged in a gratitude letter writing intervention while undergoing brain scans, and it resulted in increased activity in the brain's medial prefrontal cortex. I'm not going to pretend to know what that means, but it's associated with learning and decision-making. Sustained positive brain activity even weeks after the invention. So it had a lasting effect, if this study was correct. And the conclusion was that gratitude can create long-term positive changes in brain function. On to number 6 of 7. From 2011, participants who practice gratitude before bed were studied for sleep patterns. It resulted in an improvement in sleep quality, sleep duration, and reduced insomnia symptoms. And that kind of makes sense. If you're looking for things to be thankful for before you go to sleep, you're probably going to be at a more relaxed, more peaceful state of mind. But anyway, on to number 7. From 2006, participants who experienced gratitude were tested for their willingness to help others. The results were that gratitude increased pro-social behavior such as helping and generosity, even towards strangers. And the conclusion that gratitude fosters a sense of social responsibility and kindness. So regardless of whether we're trying to be obedient to God, like some of his other commandments, we will seemingly be blessed both physically and mentally, or cerebrally, emotionally, however you want to look at mentally, if we have a developed sense of gratitude. Now let's look back at to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Reading it again, it says, and everything gives thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we just looked at the second half of the verse, and now we'll look at the first half of the verse. I'm assuming you used NASB. It says, in everything give thanks, which the NIV says, give thanks in all circumstances. So similar, but a little bit different. In Acts 18, 22 through 25, we see an example of this. And it says, the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And having received such a command, they threw them into the inner prisons and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So here we have two people thrown into a bad situation, and they seem to be able to keep a positive mindset while they were there. I can't talk today. Singing and praising God, which I know it doesn't specifically say thankfulness, but I would kind of relate those together. My dad also covered everything Paul suffered in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 30 2 weeks ago, at the 25 minute and 22 second mark. Oh, I was a second off. And it says, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors and far more imprisonment, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? I have to boast. I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. So we kind of see all the trials that he went through, how much suffering he had been through. Excuse me. And then keeping that in mind, the different things that he suffered, we'll move over to Philippians 4. Verses 11 through 13. It says, Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I have. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So he still has that attitude, even though he suffered, and I don't know where this is compared to any of his trials, but surely he'd been through some of them at this point. But even after being through so much suffering, he can still find contentment and be satisfied with what he had. And another example, we can see if we turn back to Acts 5, the second half of verse 40 and verse 41, after the apostles had been in prison and released, says, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. So here we're getting even a little bit more direct. They were beaten, and then they were actually thankful. They were thankful that they were beaten because it showed that they were worthy to be beaten, I guess. Probably a hard thing to do. Not many of us get beaten for our, I guess, religious point of views these days. But how would we react? Would we celebrate? Would we be thankful for something like that? When I was researching to write my script, I came across the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Is anybody familiar with her? A few people? I wasn't. I never actually heard of her until doing this. And then to summarize her story from various online sources, she was born in 1892 in the Netherlands. She was the youngest of four children, and her family owned and ran a watch shop, which they lived above. She became the first woman in the Netherlands to become a licensed watchmaker. The family were Calvinist Christians in the Dutch Reformed Church. I don't know what Calvinist Christians are, so you guys can look that up. In May of 1940, the Germans invaded the country, so the family opened their home to Jewish refugees and members of the resistance. Because of this, they were sought after by the Gestapo, and a hiding place was built at their home behind a false wall in Corey's room, along with a buzzer to warn the refugees, hey, it's time to go into your hiding place, for times when there were, like, sweeps looking for people, security sweeps. She eventually oversaw a network to smuggle Jews to safety. It's estimated that the family was involved with saving about 800 Jews. In February of 1944, a Dutch informant told the Nazis about the family's work, and the entire family was arrested. I think I read there were about 30 people arrested at that time, which most of them ended up getting released, but then a few of them were imprisoned. When evidence against them was found in their house, Corrie and then Betsy, her older sister, and her father, Casper, were sent to Scheveningen prison. Casper died 10 days later. Corrie and Betsy were eventually sent to Herzogenbosch, a political concentration camp, and then later on to Ravensbrück concentration camp, which was a women's labor camp in Germany. Here they were able to hold worship services after the hard day at work, using a Bible that they had managed to smuggle in, because the guards didn't visit their barracks. And many of the prisoners were converted to Christianity at this time. The barracks were tightly packed, and I guess they were infested with fleas. And I guess at some point, the sisters read 1 Thessalonians, and Betsy, the older sister, began thanking God for everything that was in the room. And then Corrie, I guess, followed suit, however you would say that. Betsy thanked God for the fleas, prompting Corrie to say, there's no way even God can make me thankful for a flea. Betsy said, fleas are part of this place where God has put us. So Corrie thanked God for even the fleas. And it was later discovered that it was because of the fleas that the guards wouldn't enter the barracks, which is what allowed them to have their Bible studies and share prayer with the other inmates or prisoners. And it also prevented them from further abuses by the guards since they stayed away from that area. Anyway, Betsy's health deteriorated, and she died in December 1944. But before she died, which she was still in the Ravensburg, but before she died, she told Corey, there is no pit so deep that he, meaning God, is not deeper still. Sorry. And then, and then 12 days later, Corey was released from prison. Apparently because of a clerical error, she wasn't supposed to be released. And a week later, the rest of the women in her age group were sent to the gas chambers. But Corey continued on with a life of forgiveness and service to those in need. And she ended up writing a book, including her best-selling book, The Hiding Place, which is an autobiography about the, which includes those that situation. And it was actually made into a movie, but I haven't seen it yet because I just kind of found out about the story, so never heard of it until now. In his sermon 2 weeks ago, my dad also said, he mentioned, a thankful heart is something that we learn, which I would tend to agree with. It's not necessarily a reaction to a situation, but it kind of involves an attitude that we've developed, maybe we'll notice something more, or maybe we'll react differently if we have the gratitude. But there are obstacles to developing our gratitude that we face, and maybe we can use these as a measure of how grateful are we. Are we recognizing things that we should be grateful for? Society teaches us to compare ourselves with others. Maybe we need to get ahead of somebody. We're not doing well enough if the other person has more things than us. Or maybe there's advertisements on TV that are everywhere on the computer, driving down the highway on the road. Whether it's a better car or something small as the new Chicken Big Mac, we always see the advertisement on the McDonald's sign when we get our morning coffee on the way to work. But they're trying to convince us that we shouldn't be satisfied with what we have. We need more. Our lives will be unfulfilling without these things. There's a big sense of entitlement in the world today. Everyone feels that they deserve what they haven't earned. Everything is owed to us. We also experience our own pains and other sufferings that make it hard to, I guess, be grateful, to recognize when we should be grateful. And all these things have the potential to chip away at our gratitude. It's like the half glass half full problem. The situation is the same, but the outlook is different. So just because we have gratitude, it doesn't mean our situation's going to be better, but our outlook on it, which could affect. It's optimism versus pessimism. Like I said, gratitude doesn't on its own change the situation that we're in, but how we perceive a situation, which may affect our reaction to it. If we're calm, maybe more relaxed, looking at the positives, maybe we'll react a little bit better to a situation that we're in. And let's not forget the those 7 health benefits, if they're accurate. Which is more common when you're talking to people? A person who complains about work, maybe the hours are too long, it's the job is tiring, it's too hard, or that one annoying person, you know who I'm talking about. I'm looking at Elijah. I don't know. I don't know if he worked yet. I lost my spot now. Okay, so people, it's more often to hear somebody complain about work. How often do you hear somebody, like, verbally being thankful for what their workplace offers? It provides them an income, maybe benefits. vacation. You get paid for a period of time that you're not there. But it's an easy thing to overlook because I guess that kind of goes back to the entitlement. We deserve that. We're owed that. And in both cases, like with the job, the circumstances are the same. The outlook is different. But with gratitude, we can see abundance when we thought there was scarcity. We can go from taking people for granted, using people as ladder rungs, treating them like stepping stools to get whatever we can out of them, to developing a real appreciation for the people around us. And in our faith, we can, with gratitude, we can grow from doubt to trust when we recognize what God has done for us, and instead of looking at what we wish he did for us. When I was preparing this, I noticed several places giving similar advices to improve our gratefulness. They include starting a gratitude journal, turning complaints into opportunities for Thanksgiving, kind of like the fleas, but probably on a less extreme level. Verbally expressing appreciation to others regularly, or at the beginning and ending of the day, which I know isn't something I do. I probably could, but for me it would feel awkward being verbal around people. But anyway. But yeah, beginning and end of your day, counting your blessings. So my challenge to you is throughout this next week, I would challenge you to intentionally look for reasons to be thankful. Look for the things that are maybe more hidden, things that aren't so obvious, how God has worked in your life. You can put it in your phone as a reminder to try to do daily. And do it for a week and see if you notice anything different. And let us know next week when Sarah's up here. That's all I have. And I didn't even mention Bob Dylan until just now. So it still counts. That's how easy it is, Elijah. Thank you. I think my dad will have the closing song.
I think it's about counting your blessings, if I remember right.